Oh, that's what it's all about. Ask yourself, am I for real? I am the light of the world. Am I for real? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. Am I real? Do you ever ask yourself that question? Are you for real? Have you ever thought about that? Anita, I had a little email from her here someplace or other, and Anita wrote us from New Zealand, and Anita has been constantly talking lately about the idea of being a very special person. And she says, everyone doesn't seem to understand that she's a very special person. And I say that's understandable, that everyone doesn't understand it. Everyone understands merely where they are. Now, why are you associating with people who don't understand that? And Anita writes, after I had talked about this for this quite a while, she says, I love you too, Herb. Thanks. And I keep bursting. Thanks for letting me pour out my bursting on you, smile. How do you play the game, sharing relative and yet be divine? Now, see, this is her question. How do you play the game of sharing in the relative and yet be divine? Now, that's a question we all would like to know the answer to. And she says, have fun, love, and a big hug, Anita, from New Zealand. Ask yourself, am I for real? I am the light of the world. Am I for real? Think about it. If you are human and you're for real as a human, that's fine. Now, what does it mean to be a for real human? A for real human is a person who has humanity, who cares about his neighbor. He says the human is his neighbor's keeper, his brother's keeper. The human is his brother's keeper. And to be human is quite something. Most people, being human, they say, you know, they got to be real gentle and loving and forgiving. Hey, what right do you have to forgive somebody something when they did what they meant to do? And you have no right to forgive. You have a right to forget it and pay no attention to it and go on planting new seeds. But every time you forgive, you're in the old garbage heap again. Every time you forgive, you're in the old trouble again. We have one of our friends, his son is in prison. And his son did dastardly things before he went to prison. And that's why he went there. And I don't know what they were and don't care. But in prison, the son somehow came in contact with us. It was very interesting how that happened. And he was not in contact with the parents or anyone else because everyone else had discarded him. And so we told him that he's a beautiful person and that whatever he did is past and we live in the present. We're not interested in hearing any of the problems or knowing anything that went wrong. And he says, nobody ever treated me like that. Nobody, you know. And I thought, my goodness, even his parents weren't able to overcome his naughtiness. How many little children that you know of are naughty? Every little child does naughty things. Every little child does things that are really unforgivable. Like the one boy who took a pair of roller skates and hit his sister over the head with them and said, I didn't know it hurt. And I talked to him and I said, give me the roller skates and I'll show you. Oh, no, it'll hurt. I said, sure you do know. So never again do anything that hurts another, that takes away from another, that doesn't respect another. Mainly it doesn't respect you. And yeah. So today he's a multi-billionaire in charge of a multi-group of corporations, you know, a big operation. But anyhow, and he never did anything foolish like that again. But his father called me in because I was a minister and I should work with this kid because he was just intolerable, you know. He was intractable. He would not behave. So I worked with him, and I worked with him right where he was, respecting whatever his thinking system was. And all of a sudden, he realized his thinking system was a little out of whack. He was acting like a naughty boy instead of acting like a nice boy. He was trying to get attention in the wrong way. And he realized that that wasn't the way to get attention because it didn't pay off. So he learned that lesson. And his lesson was not that he should be spanked for being naughty or that he should be treated for being naughty. Because, I mean, what the heck? If he had killed his sister, all his life he would have had her death on his hand. And all his life they would have said, "You killed your sister, you killed your sister," never forgiving him, you know. And he did it out of kid stupidity, you know. And what would you do? So, you see, you have to really let the past go step by step and live in the now. No matter how outrageous the past may have been, you have to let it go. And none of us have learned how to do that. We certainly haven't been trained by our parents how to do that. We've always said, now, make your mother proud of you, make your father proud of you, make the world proud of you, go out and do something that makes yourself proud of you, you know, and it's not, hey, go be yourself and have fun. Do things that delight you. Do things that make you feel just so wonderful and so happy and so fulfilled. If we were to teach that to ourselves, much less to our children and our friends, teach that to ourselves, what a life we would live. Then people would indeed say, "Are you for real? Are you for real? Be yourself and have fun." Imagine that. What a strange thing to say and do. Be yourself and have fun. Because that's irresponsible. That's not, it's very, very, very responsible, actually. Because when you're yourself, you go by your values. You go by your ethics. You go by what it is that makes you up as a being. And if what makes you up as a being is not worth being around, then nobody's going to be around you. Except other people who have low values, too. So just remember that if your children, if your associates, or if anybody in your world has values that you don't appreciate, how can you see that if your values are ones you appreciate? If you have values that you appreciate, how can you see anyone doing anything contrary to your values? You know? You can't. You think you can. You think, oh, the world is terrible. You're going to hell in a basket, you know, and this and that and the other thing. And true. That's what you are. That's what you're thinking is. But if you look at your world and say, wow, what a wonderful world, what a wonderful world, you know, and if you sing what a wonderful world and you act what a wonderful world and you live what a wonderful world, everybody who likes a wonderful world is around you. They want to be near you. They want to be in your company. They want to say, hey, can I join you? Can I get on the wagon too? And we'll all go in this wonderful world of wonderful things and wonderful dreams. Well, that's just fine. Ask yourself, am I for real? What sort of show am I putting on? What sort of event am I shining forth from my inner soul, from my inner being? Like Anita says here, oh, did I read what I said? No, I didn't read what I said to her, Anita. Anita said, how do you play the game of sharing relative and yet be divine? Being the relative and yet being divine. And I said, beloved Anita, you play the game of divine being divine. Not relative being divine, but divine being divine. We wear the costume of the relative because it is fun. Now, with equal abandon, put on the costume of the divine and have fun being divine. Under all circumstances, be divine. It merely means we think divine, act divine, and under all conditions live divine. A new game, an exciting game, I will play it with you. You just keep pouring it out on me, and I will guide you in your divine game as I do here on campus. I love you, love her. You see, are you ready? Are you ready? Is the world ready for something like that? And if the world is ready, we're ready to give it. We're ready to live it. We're ready to be it. Now, okay, how many of you are ready to give up the relative? Not one of you raised your hand.
Give it up.
I asked you a question. How many of you are ready to give up the relative? Okay, now you got your hands up. Rex, you didn't raise your hands. How many of you are ready to give up the relative? You all say now, yes. Okay, how many of you are ready to be the divine under all circumstances? Good for you. Good for you. Good for you. Good for you. All right, now, to be the divine under all circumstances means you have to act like God. Now, can you think that the eternal, infinite, absolute allness, we don't want to say he God, she God, it God, the eternal, absolute allness, which brought forth everything, that it made a mistake someplace?
No.
That something was bad, something was evil, something was not good? Okay, then if everything that the eternal allness brought forth as you, as me, as the world around us, it must be very good. So, if we, with the eyes of the infinite allness, look at everything around us, we will only be able to see whatever we are. Now, why is it, now let's just play the game a little lower, why is it that God cannot see a problem? Because God, number one, I'm going to mention that later, but number two, God sees all as good and very good. God sees all as good and very good. God sees, that's number two, God sees all as good and very good. There's nothing to judge. There's nothing to call a problem. Okay, that you accept. But now let's look back here at number one. Number one, I'm the light of the world. Number one, what does God do when God sees its creation? It sees it through its own light. God is the pure white light of all. And when God sees something that makes it feel just a little cool, you know, turns up the rheostat. It makes the volume, it makes the intensity of the light a little greater. Now, God would never feel anything cool, but because God has no sensitivity to warm or cool or anything. God is the allness, the isness, and everything. Okay, now, how do we play the game of dressing up in the costume of the divine? How do we do that? What sort of things do we do to put on the costume of the divine? Well, the first thing is, we say the physical body we have is so. You see, the minute we put our attention on the physical body, on diet, on food, on water, on comfort in any way, we are not divine. Ooh, that's tough. The minute we put our attention on any need, wouldn't it be wonderful to create the device that did such and so? The divine doesn't create devices. The divine is all. Now, Sybil is sitting here talking to us, and then Sybil lets her mind wander for a moment to her daddy living in her home. And Sybil is there. She's thinking of her dad in her home, and she is there, back in that time years ago when he was there. Now, he's not there now, but he's there then, and then is now in her thinking. And that's what she's thinking. Now, Sybil, don't answer this question because you just stick your foot in your mouth. But Sybil, have you ever met in your entire life, other than yourself, a divine being who was just the greatest Now, don't answer it, and don't say it's me either. Have you ever met a divine being in your entire life who was just absolutely perfect in every single way? And the answer has to be no. I said, don't include yourself or don't include me, okay? The answer has to be no. Now, why does the answer have to be no? Does anyone know?
It's only me.
It's only you. It's only you. There is only one divine being in this universe. Now, how can Anita interact with other divine beings? She can't. She can't play the game because the game is being divine herself. Now, what would a divine Anita do if she were bubbling over with joy?
She would just bubble.
She would see everyone else bubbling over with joy because that's her nature. If she were bubbling over with joy, that's all she would see in her universe. You understand? But you see, when she's human, she wants other people to bubble too. When she's divine, everyone is bubbling. You understand?
Mm.
You see, you don't need to get someone to bubble. You don't need to tell somebody, oh, Anita, Sylvia, come, look here, look at the sunset. Oh, and Sylvia, isn't that sunset beautiful? Isn't that sunset beautiful? And Sylvia comes out and she says, yeah, it's okay. You know? And I say, Rex, isn't that sunset beautiful? He says, hug me, Dad. He's no more interested in the sunset than the man in the moon. He says, hug me, you know? Now, what about you? You see, we go around expecting the world to respond to our joys and our thrills and our excitements. And the world will not respond unless we are our world. Now, are we our world? Yes, we are. And is our world always responding to who we are? Our world is who we are. Our world is. Now, I cannot get excited and share my excitement with somebody else and have them be excited too, because if I have to do that, then I'm really not excited. I'm just play acting. I'm just putting on a show. But if I am so excited and I'm so thrilled and I'm so filled with all the energy and power, filled with the spirit, as they say, you know, if I'm so filled with, I don't care if anybody else got it or not. I don't care if there's another being in the universe. I might be out in this forest all by myself, and I look around and I say, wow, do I feel great. Look at the sunbeams coming down through the branches. Oh, boy, this is beautiful. I feel so great. I feel so wonderful. I feel so fantastic. My God, this must be the place where God started everything. Because this is, I feel like I'm the beginning of everything. Wow, it's so great. Wow, it's so great. And I walk on these pine needles with my bare feet, and they don't puncture my feet or make me feel uncomfortable. They just feel good. And they smell so wonderful, this pine forest, you know. And now, look at here. Hey, you know, the movies, the Bambi, you know, ha, ha, ha. And here comes all the birds coming, landing on the bushes around me, singing a tune for me and say, Herb, this is just for you. You created us doing this. I like Herb, I like Herb, I like Herb, I like Herb. And everybody's singing it. Pretty soon the bushes and the breezes pick it up together, and they're singing it. I like Herb, I like Herb. And then pretty soon the coyotes and the bulls and the snakes and the bears and the all the critters, the bunnies of the forest, they all come out and they say, where's Herb? There's Herb. Oh, I like Herb. Yes, yeah. Because I like Herb. Everybody likes Herb. And I create that into... And I don't need the bugs. The bugs say it too, but I don't need the bugs to say it. I don't need the bunnies to say it. I don't need the bears to say it, because that's it. That's it. They're merely reflecting what I am. I'm looking in my mirror when I look in their faces and I look in their world, and I create them. Can you see how exciting that is? Just, I don't want you to walk the path with me, because then you expect me to perform for you, and I don't do that. I perform here in the lecture sometimes, but when I'm in my meditation time, I am absolutely one as all, with my divine self. I feel so good. Nobody could make me feel happier. Nobody could make me feel sad. Nobody could make anything, because I am the allness. And ask yourself, am I for real? Oh, yes. I am the light of the world? Oh, yes. Have you turned up the light of the world, which is you? Oh, yes. And sometimes I walk into a room and I see a bunch of people and they haven't quite got the message yet. And I just turn up my light and I'm just sitting there beaming away and happy away. They don't even exist. My light is so bright I don't see anything other than my light. Hey, cool, yeah. Now, what about you? As you walk through life, do you see only with your own light? Do you see only... I was thinking, I walk the path naked many times in the middle of the night, and I don't carry a flashlight or anything, but the Border Patrol comes walking along occasionally looking for international travelers, and every once in a while, one will come along, and they have their flashlight, and they'll flash their flashlight on me, and there I am standing there, you know, and they all together, and I say, hello, how are you doing tonight? And they say, oh, a talking person, you know, and I said, are you having any luck with your investigations? And they say, nope, can't find anybody. And I said, that's fine. You just enjoy your evening walk. And I could not see him because I was the light. He shone his light on me, and I could only see my light. I did not see him. I only heard a voice, disembodied voice out there speaking in the night. And I knew who it was because it had to be. And if it weren't, then that was a good game, too. But I'm walking along, and the rabbits look up at me, and all the critters that I see along the path look up at me, and they say, hi, good morning, you know. And I say good morning to everybody because I'm just happiness. I'm just bubbling. And there's nothing sacred or secret or private about me because I'm all out in the open with everything I am and everything I do and everything I say. And if people would ever think that I could tell them a lie, I think to myself, my goodness, how could they ever think such a thing when I don't even know what a lie is, you know? Do you?
No.
That's the right answer. But can you see the fun? The fun of being your divine self. The fun of walking your divine path. The fun of playing the game. Put on your divine outfit. You know, put on your divine outfit. Well, what is my divine outfit? Maybe it's your birthday suit. Maybe it's some beautiful dress you have. Maybe it's some beautiful pair of slacks or shorts or something. It doesn't matter. But your divine outfit is your divine recognition of yourself. You say, I am that I am. This is what Moses was told by Moses. As Moses was going to go and get the people out of Egypt, Moses told himself, because God was Moses, speaking through Moses, and he said, who shall I say has sent thee? And the voice of the burning bush, nice imagery, the voice of the burning bush, light, you know. The burning bush says, tell them, I am that I am, have sent thee. You know? And he says, okay. So, you too can play the game. What the heck? The authors of the various books of the Bible, they played a great game. They had imagination that wouldn't stop. And, you know, every single author of the Old Testament and New Testament was a minister. Because a minister counts people in church by the arms and the legs and maybe a head. So there, for each person, it gets a count of five, you know, two legs, two arms, and a head. So for every, and then, you know, that's the way. Now, how many cows are in the field? You count by four for the cows. And then if you want to count the udder, then that's another four, you know. And some cows even have a fifth udder. But the thing is, that's the way they count. Ministers like to count that way. How many people were in church today? Oh, we had about 50. Well, what were there?
Divided, you know, by four.
Divide by four. And
five. So there were 10 people.
Yeah, no, but then you have to also divide by one more. Because if the minister considers himself part of the congregation, then that's not too cool. So you got to take him off. And the minister is worth a 10 easy, you know.
So he made an empty church. You
mean. So he spoke to himself. But this is great. This is great. I have spoken to an empty church many times. And it was a good experience. Because I was there speaking to myself. And I gave a rip snorting talk. I just enjoyed. And nobody was out there objecting to anything I had to say. Everybody, all the mice and all the ants and bugs, they all readily accepted it. But I only spoke in any place once or twice to an empty house. And then it was filling up. And especially if my mother had anything to do with it. She helped get it full. But it was nice. It was really nice. And I loved it. And I didn't feel bad about it whatsoever. I recognize how many other people who are working on becoming aware of themselves have that. Now, did I visualize a full house when I had the empty house? No. I didn't care. I was visualizing about giving my talk and following my notes. Oh, I had notes that, you know, wouldn't stop. And just in case I forgot something, you know. And then, since nobody was there, and I could say whatever I wanted to say, I just said everything. And I recorded it and played it back to whomever, and they said, wow, that was a good talk. Yeah, wasn't it? You know, it was fun. Right, Mr. Rex. Okay, ask yourself, am I for real? And answer yourself whether you're for real or not, because the world would like to know if you're for real. And if you're for real, then what else matters? Mm-hmm. What else matters? So, be yourself and have fun. Our 11-day seminar spiritual retreat here is winding down today. And this is our thought for today of our 11-day spiritual retreat. Ask yourself, am I for real? Am I the light of the world? And answer, I am the light of the world.
I am the light of the world.
And I like me, I like me, I like me.
I like me, I like me, I like me.
Wow, am I good.
I'm good.
Very good.
I'm very good.
I love you. I love you. I love you.